once again, 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 12 through 14 tonight. These verses have posed a quandary to some as far as understanding, but we'll do our best with these verses tonight. Before we begin, there will be a few points of a few matters of interpretation, and then we'll get into the explanation and the preaching of them. 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We will find, hopefully, much encouragement from this passage. But Lord, we need to let your word work in our lives. Lord, we let so many other things work in our life, for the good, for the worse. Father, we need to let your word work in our lives tonight. We need your help with that. Please help all distraction be a minimal. Help us not to focus on other things going on in our lives. But for this moment that we have this evening, please help us to focus on your word and on you alone. In your name we pray, amen. Well, as you can see, there's a bunch of repetition in this passage. And so one reason for repetition, as you have known in your own scripture study, your own scripture reading, is what? Repetition can mean remembrance, emphasis, emphasis. Well, when there is emphasis, when there is repetition, not always is repetition emphasis, but most of the time. In fact, almost always. But when you're studying, a tendency to do is oh, this is repetition. Okay, this means emphasis. All right, I understand the passage. There's a message here. And we need to understand this message. And we're going to come to that. And this message is one of encouragement. But before we do, though, this as you've seen, this repetition isn't just two times. This repetition is six times. He uses the word, the verb write, both past and present, six times. So the emphasis being that the benefit of the gospel he is trying to point to is, it is written. I write unto you. It is written. It is in God's word. Because it is written, that is why we have the gospel today. That is why we have this message today. And for that, we need to be grateful. That's something we can be thankful for. Thanksgiving is coming up. There are so many things to be thankful for. And perhaps around the dinner table at Thanksgiving, perhaps you have a tradition of mentioning something that you're thankful for. This can be one of them, that we have God's written word today. And in this country, God's written word is bountiful. Now, another point of interpretation is that you have seen that there are three categories given. One is my little children, fathers, and young men. So we have to describe, okay, what are those? Are those necessarily age designations? No, they're not. I believe that they are spiritual maturity designations. So then, it begs a few questions. What is the My Little Children? Well, for that, we need to turn back to the first verse of this chapter. Chapter 2, verse 1. And it reads, My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, right there, right off the bat, the My Little Children, we assume to be what? All believers. All believers. So, then, what about the fathers and the young men? Well, very simply, the fathers is not designating a gender. The fathers is the older in Christ. The younger men, likewise. It's not a gender designation. It is the younger in Christ. These are spiritual maturity designations. So the phrase "my little children," he in fact that designates all believers. He uses that phrase 8 more times in this book. And so John addresses those then with more experience and then less experience. There's one other thing, a matter of interpretation, and that is the verse divisions did not happen until hundreds of years after the fact. And most of the time, they did a great job. Here, quite frankly, without mincing words, they did not. Verse 13, down towards the end of it, what should be a separate verse is, "I write unto you little children." In other words, the division is little children, all of us. Then verse 13, fathers and young men. And then separately, again, little children at the end of verse 13. And then on into 14, fathers and then young men as well. All of us, older in Christ and then younger in Christ. Now, beyond all this, these interpretation matters, there is a message in this passage, and that is one of encouragement. Encouragement when the circumstances of life seem too much to bear. Are there a few circumstances in your life right now? I'm sure there are. There are circumstances in my life. And life brings many uncertainties. So what is one responsibility as professing believers? Well, rather than focusing on uncertainties, we need reminders. We need encouragement to have the right perspective of the certainties that God's Word has for us. And the way that I'd like to summarize these certainties for us is this. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. Profound, isn't it? No, it's not. But it is important for us to be reminded of that. God's Word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, changes lives. And John's encouragement in this passage is that, remember, believer, older in Christ, younger in Christ, God's Word has changed your life. These uncertainties that you might seem to be focused on in your life right now, focus on the certainty of God's Word that changed your life and ever since then is changing your life currently and will be changing your life in the paths ahead. So the intent of John is not to try and convince believers of anything in this passage. Rather, it's an acknowledgement of truth. So the gospel changes lives. The gospel provides strength. And he's saying, believer, let me encourage you to remember that the gospel provides help. And as a believer, you know that not just because it is written. 6 times it reminds us that it is written. Not just knowing this because it is written, but also because you have experienced and you are experiencing that change and help that the gospel gives. So the point is, take a look back, believer, older in Christ, younger in Christ. Take a look back and acknowledge and see all that God has done already. Look what the gospel has already done in your life to gain confidence that same gospel power is going to be enough to guide you through the paths that are still ahead of you. So, one example, one illustration is if you've ever been on a hike, if you've been on a trip, a long driving trip, one encouragement whether you're on a hike and you're starting to get discouraged, starting to get tired, whether you're on a driving trip, the same thing. I don't know about discouraged, but maybe tired. What do we do sometimes to encourage us? If you're driving, not while you're driving, but that night in a hotel or something, it's also fun to look at a map and see how far you've gone. See where you started. If you've been on a hike and you yourself have been discouraged, or you're with somebody that's discouraged and does not want to continue on, and especially if you're at a vantage point, mainly, let's say, on a mountain or somewhere in that elevation on that mountain, say, wait a minute, hold on. Before you get too discouraged and want to quit and turn back, look down there. Look how far we've come. And a lot of times that is encouraging. And that's what John does in this passage. He's saying, believer, there are things going on in your life. There are. Wait a minute. Get encouragement. Be encouraged as to how the gospel has changed your life. Look at what Christ has done. Be encouraged by that. And that's what John does in this passage. So, the first benefit of the gospel, verse 12 and the first part of verse 13, is that the gospel provides redemption and victory over sin. And this is a key change we need to rejoice in first. Let's read verse 12. I write unto you, little children. I write unto you, all believers, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So the key emphasis here is that if you are saved because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, you have the assurance of the forgiveness of your sins. All your sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have no reason, believer, to question if there is some sin that is not covered. He addresses all this to us as little children. And this term communicates tender affection. This term communicates the need for the recipients to hear this over and over again. What is one way that little children learn? That is repetition. What is one way that adults learn? Repetition. Over and over and over again. So, what is one responsibility that we have as God's children? Younger believer, older believer, is to accept your position as little children. And you need to let God, in this case, John being inspired by the Holy Spirit, you need to let God remind us again of what God has done through Christ. And that is provide forgiveness of sin. Now you've heard me pray before. You've heard Pastor pray before. Especially in the matter of worship. If you've carried a whole baggage of sin that you have not dealt with. And then now you try to enter into a time of worship, not dealing with your sin, and expect your worship to be acceptable to God. Now, that is a discussion for another passage. That is a discussion for another time. The discussion for tonight is that you as a believer do not have to worry about any of your sin not being covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is encouragement, and we can rejoice in that. The first part of verse 13. I write unto you, fathers. Again, don't be confused by that. I write unto you, believers, older in Christ, because you have known him from the beginning. Now, which one of the Trinity have we known from the beginning? Well, let's turn to chapter 1 and verse 1 of 1 John. Chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, that one that we have heard, the one that we have seen with our eyes, the one that we have looked upon, the one that our hands have handled, the word of life. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. So the message to those who are older in Christ, fathers, older in Christ, older believers, is that you have known Christ from the beginning. And again, as we have described in these previous verses in weeks past, the beginning of what? I strongly believe that this is the beginning of your encounter of the gospel. Now, this knowing Him, it's not that you have known Him perfectly. This is a knowing of Him that is sufficient for the challenges that we are facing in our life. So, believer, you know Him already. And this is not a factual knowledge. Rather, this is an experiential knowledge that produces a relationship. This is an experiential knowledge that ought to be producing a relationship. Because you know Him that way, it should encourage your heart. And if it doesn't encourage your heart, then you need to look at your relationship or lack thereof with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this fathers, this older in Christ is a designation of respect, dignity, spiritual responsibility. God has expectations, older in Christ. God has expectation of those who have more experience in walking with Him in the light, to use terminology in this very earlier in this same exact epistle. So, older in Christ. Now again, don't confuse this with older in age. You can have an 80-year-old person who's just been saved for a matter of days. You can have a 5-year-old who is now a 15-year-old that's been saved for 10 years. And that person ought to be growing in Christ. A lot of times we give latitude for different age designations as far as how long they have known Christ. And we need to be careful with that. We need to really be careful with that. But older in Christ, who have had more experience in walking with Him in the light, ought to have. Acknowledge that experience humbly. And encourage those around you. Older in Christ, avoid some temptations that might be more acute to you. Temptations of self-sufficiency. Older in Christ, temptations of complacency. Share with others the benefit of knowing Christ. Younger in Christ, seek the help of those who are older in Christ. The middle part of verse 13. I write unto you, younger believers, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, younger believers, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now the gospel encourages those younger in Christ as well. The gospel encourages all believers. The gospel encourages those who are older in Christ. The gospel encourages those who are younger in Christ. Young is referring to a vitality, energy, enthusiasm. Well, hey, wait a minute. I'm an 85-year-old. He just got saved. Vitality? Energy? It's also a freshness that comes with a commitment to a cause. And you all know what I'm talking about, those who of you who are here who are professing believers. The younger in Christ see a challenge and they're ready to move forward. But the younger in Christ can also become discouraged, just like anybody else. So the encouragement comes with victory. Now, this isn't ultimate victory over sin, but this is a victory that is secure in Christ, looking forward in your past. This is also an encouragement looking back. That you've already had the experience of overcoming the wicked one. Have you thought about that? Have you reminded yourself about that? Daily attacks with sin. Daily attacks being tempted. The urge to give into those temptations daily. Believer? True believer? You have already overcome the wicked one. Encourage yourself with that. Allow God's word to encourage you with that. Now, this isn't the final overcoming of the wicked one. Rather, he's down, but he's not out. Satan, you have to remind yourself, is still striving to counter the work of God in your life. And he will continue to be doing so throughout your life. But you have already had the experience of saying no to temptation, saying no to sin, and confessing your sin, true believer. You've already had that. Encourage yourself with that. Because of the strength of the power of the gospel, you have had the joyful experience of turning from sin. But our sinful nature is still with us, and it drags you down. And it discourages you. And Satan loves that. And Satan wants you to stay discouraged. So, if you're going to choose to not turn back to Christ, but wait a minute, I'm a believer, I've turned to Christ. If you have not believer, turned back to Christ, you will stay discouraged. Count on it. And John is encouraging you, wait a minute. Remember, you've already turned from that. Now, we know and understand the heartache of giving in to temptation. But again, John here wants to be encouraging. Think about the victory experienced because of God's grace. Not the victory that you experienced because you are strong. Not because of the victory that you experienced because you have thick skin. The victory you experienced because of God's grace. Now let's put these three together. What three am I talking about? Verse 12. All believers. John says, your sins are forgiven. Verse 13. To those older in Christ, you know him personally. To those younger in Christ, you have overcome the wicked one. Now, oftentimes in Scripture, when you have groupings of three, it's the middle one that holds the other two together. So, in other words, look at the passage as we do this. In other words, on what basis is our sin forgiven? Verse 12. It is on the basis of knowing Christ. On what basis have we overcome the evil one? Verse 13. It is only on the basis of knowing Christ. So Christ here is deliberately at the center. And he is at the center, John is saying, of our encouragement. So there is no praise for personal accomplishment here. Rather, it points to the sufficiency of Christ. Not the sufficiency of yourself. And it points to the need for our dependence on him. Jesus needs to be the center of our life because he is the only reason for success. For success in the past and for our success in the future. He is the only reason for our hope for the future. And that alone is encouragement. But he says he's going to help you with that. He says he's going to help you with that. What encouragement would that be in the workplace? You would have somebody who can provide you resources, written word of God. Somebody at work who can provide you resources to be successful and say, you know what, not only will I provide you things to be successful, I will personally help you I will go right alongside you and help you. Try to find that in the workplace. Har har. Try to find that sometimes even in your own family. Try to find sometimes that with your closest friends. That's not knocking on anybody. It's just we're human and we fail each other. We're sinful. Christ, He is the reason for any past success. He is the reason for any successful saying no to temptation, confessing your sin. And He is the reason for any success in the future. Now, we have this to go through again. Some of it's overlap, and some of this emphasis is slightly different. Now, let's read the last part of verse 13 and the first part of verse 14. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. The last part of verse 13. I write unto you, little children. I write unto you, all believers, because you have known the Father. Because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, older in Christ, because you have known Him from the beginning. I write unto you, fathers, older in Christ, verse 13, because you have known Him from the beginning. That is the same. So clearly, the last part of verse 13, first of all, I write unto you all believers because you have known the Father. Now that is clearly a reference to the first person of the Trinity. And earlier from the same epistle, we know that knowing God includes fellowship with Him. Knowing God includes fellowship with Him. So you not only know Him, but you know Him personally. And knowing Him personally comes with walking in the light in His presence. Now, how do we get to know Him? Through Christ. How do we get to know Him? It's through Christ. Now, word for word, this is the same as in verse 13. Now, the only difference being, it's the tense of the verb. I write unto you, and then I have written unto you. But why repeat? Yes, emphasis. Why emphasis? Emphasizing what? Christ must be at the center. Christ must be the focus all the time, believer. Reflecting on our relationship with God, how did that happen? How did our relationship with God happen? It happened through who? Through Christ. Your relationship with God the Father happened through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. When you pray, who do you pray to? You do not pray to the Holy Spirit. You do not pray to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in whose name? God the Father. You pray to the Father. How can you pray, how can you boldly approach the throne of God the Father, the first person of the Trinity? Through Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, who encourages you throughout your whole life, spiritual life, His Holy Spirit, the great Comforter. Verse 14, I have written unto you, younger in Christ, because you are strong. And the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 13. I write unto you, young believers, because you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 14 expands on that. I have written unto you, young believers, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and in repetition, you have overcome the wicked one. So you see the two additional phrases. Now, getting victory, yes, through Christ, but more explicitly, the Lord has given you strength. Strength is a gift from God. The source of strength is crucial because you will need that same source for more strength. It's a fact, unfortunately. Yes, you've received strength in the past. That same source of strength, you will need more strength from Him in the future, in the paths that lie ahead. So, appreciate, be thankful where strength came from the first time. And by God's grace, that same strengthening is coming in the days ahead. Now the second phrase, in addition, is in getting victory. I have written unto you, young believers, because you are strong, and the word of God in you. Now, how did the word of God come to abide in you? Well, you read it. You memorized it. You listened to it. You listened to it being preached and taught. And that is how God's word came into your heart in the past. And how you have received victory over the evil one. Younger believer, older believer, also, you will need that same grace in the days ahead. He has given you His word, and it must continue. It must keep abiding in your life to be effective. Any of you like recipes? I love recipes, especially when I come across a new one for homemade macaroni and cheese. But keeping on track, you like recipes? Well, the recipe for victory is to continue to access God's Word. There are so many simple children's songs that read your Bible, pray every day. How simple is that? That's the answer. How often do we do it? Most often, not often enough. If you are doing it often, praise the Lord. Do it more often. So the Lord encourages those younger in Christ. You do have strength. Remember where you got that strength. Remember your efforts to access God's Word in your life. And that is when you can rejoice that you have overcome the evil one. That same evil one will fall by the same means you used in the past. Have you defeated the evil one in the past? Yes, you have, believer. Whether older believer or younger believer, you confess your sin. You have overcome the evil one. You have received victory. And by those same means, that is how you get victory now and in the future. You have to use those same means, believer. So, again, grouping of three. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. In other words, young believer, why are you strong? Verse 14, because the word of God abides in you. How have you overcome the wicked one, young believer? Because the word of God abides in you. Now, the tone of my voice may not have conveyed it because there's just a little excitement here. Encouragement. Encouraging. The Lord is encouraging us. In the days ahead, are we going to experience weakness? Are we going to experience rejection? Are we going to experience loneliness? Christ experienced all three of those here on earth. Which is exactly why remembering that you know Him and keeping Christ at the center, He is the one who experienced all of those. And He can give you grace for those and other things that happen upon our way and the paths that lie ahead. Discouraged? Are you discouraged? John encourages us by saying, believer, take a look back in your life and see what Christ has done. Because believer, there is more victory. Believer, there is more knowledge of God to be had. Believer, there is more strength Believer, there is more understanding of His Word available. All of these are available. Victory is available. Knowledge of God is available. More strength is available. All of this, we need to be looking for God's grace. The gospel provides help. The gospel provides strength. Believer, we need to be encouraged by that. We need to be reminded of that. Over and over and over and over again, as this repetitious passage has reminded of us tonight. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, the message in it. It is living. Help us to remember that Your message is living. It is actual real life help for us. The things in our life are not too big for You. The things in our life are not too big for Your written Word. We thank You for that, and we are encouraged by that. In Your name we pray.